And all God's people said, amen. 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 Thank you, Tina. That's worth coming for. Amen. Amen. No doubt. Yeah. The difference in that song is do you believe in God? Do you believe God? Amen. That's what you hear me say a lot, and I struggle with the same thing. Pastors worry too. That's just a part of our life. You know, we know that God knows, but we don't. That's the problem. That's the problem, yeah. Take your Bibles and be turning to Luke. Luke chapter 16 today. We're in our series, God, I Want to Be Happy. Most of the people, that's what we're living for in life, is to be happy. Nothing wrong with that. A lot of people, you know, we learned a couple of weeks ago about, you know, it's either say, well, you're either holy or you're happy. You can't be both, but you can be. You know, our last few messages, you know, we've learned about relationships or what happiness revolves around a lot, or how good are our relationships. You know, we're out of relationship with each other. We're out of relationship with God, okay? We're out of fellowship with Him, and so it makes us where we're not happy. And then we learned about it that, you know, that holiness leads to happiness. When we're obeying God, we're following God, we're walking in the Spirit, that brings happiness. And then Mike preached his Ethiopian message last week, or Egypt message last week, and I can't remember what it was, Mike. It was, you know, no, I'm just kidding. But we realize that happy, there's nothing wrong with being happy. You know, we as Christians, listen, we ought not walk around like we've been eating pickles. You know, I mean, we ought to have a smile on our face because we can trust God. Amen? We can trust God. All this, what's going on in the world today, has not caught God by surprise. He's not in heaven wringing his hands wondering what we're going to do, okay? And it's not going to be solved at the White House. It's going to be solved through the church house, okay? He works through us, and we go out and tell people about Jesus. Listen, whatever problem you've got today, let me tell you what, Jesus Christ is the answer, amen? When you make him Lord, it's going to take away a lot of things that go on in your life. Doesn't mean that we're going to live in a problem-free world. I have flat tires just like you do. And if you think you're living in a world like that, you're wrong. What's wrong with the world? It's a cursed world. It's a sinful world we're living. This is not heaven, okay? Don't ever get to the point where you're trying to make heaven out of this world. It's not. The best is yet to come. Don't forget that, and we need to realize that. But while we're here, we can be happy. We can have things that will make us happy. Take your Bibles, like I said, and turn to Luke chapter 16 there. This is a long text here, but I wanted to read it all because I wanted to talk about a few things about it. Because a lot of confusion about this scripture here. It kind of looks like that God's kind of okay with us being, I guess you'd say, dishonest, but that's not true. Listen to what it says here, starting in verse 1, Luke 16, verse 1. Jesus told his disciples there was a rich man whose manager was accused of wasting his possessions. So he called him in and asked him, "What is this I hear about you? Give an account of your management, because you cannot be manager any longer." The manager said to himself, "What shall I do now? My master is taking away my job. I'm not strong enough to dig, and I'm ashamed to beg. I know what I'll do. When I lose my job here, people will welcome me into their house." So he called in each of his master's debtors, and he asked the first, "How much do you owe the master?" 800 gallons of olive oil," he replied. The manager told him, "Take your bill, set down quickly, and make it 400. Then he asked the second, "How much do you owe?" 1,000 bushels of wheat," he replied. He told him, "Take your bill and make it 800. And then here in verse 8 is where the confusion comes out. "The master commended the dishonest manager because he had acted shrewdly. For the people of this world are more shrewd in dealing with their own kind than are people of the light." Now what he's talking about here, we need to ask it. The master is also dishonest, evidently, here too. So this is not God, this is the master telling him. But what he's commending him about is his shrewdness. And he's talking about, that's his, he's clever. We call it, I guess the world we call it is worldliness, okay? We know how to move and shake is what it would be. And then he goes on, here's another verse in verse 9. "I tell you, use worldly wealth to gain friends for yourself, that when it is gone, you will be welcome into eternal dwellings." And what he's saying here is this, is we're to use our wealth to lead people to Christ. And that we're investing in the things of God. And we're going to be talking about that. Then he goes on in verse 10. He says, "Whoever can be trusted with very little can also be trusted with much. And whoever is dishonest with very little will also be dishonest with much." So it is. So if you have been trustworthy in handling worldly wealth, who will trust you with true riches? And if you are not being trustworthy with someone else's property, who will give you property of your own? Verse 13, no servant can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. And the Pharisees who love money heard all this, and they sneered at Jesus. And he said to them, You are the ones who justify yourselves in the eyes of men, but God knows your heart. There's where we're at. What is highly valued among men is detestable in God's sight. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to this story here today that we see someone that was shrewd in the worldly ways. And God, sometimes we think that we're shrewd in worldly ways also. We live in a fleshly manner to where we're thinking that somehow or another because that we can move around in this world and even be wealthy or somehow or another overcome obstacles that God, somehow or another we're clever. But God, that's not what we're to be in this world. God, we're to be shrewd, but we're to be shrewd in the things that of kingdom. We realize that we're eternal beings. And God, we're not to be doing our banking here. We're to be doing our banking in heaven. And so God, help us look at what you have given us. Look at our stuff. And God, help us to understand where that lies in our lives, how much that means to us. God, we're talking about something in today's world, in America that we're living in today. This is the thing that draws us away from you probably more than anything else. And so, God, let us hear this message. God, let me, God, preach to people's heads, but God, you get into their hearts, and it might change our lives that we might be different people. This is so important of a truth, God, and we overlook it so many times. And God, help us hear this message from you today. God, use this time that we have together to glorify and honor your name. We pray this in the name of Jesus, and amen. This story here is something that we deal with in everyday life. Today in America, our idol, we don't have little wooden statues, and you probably don't have a Buddha in your house or anything like that. But what we worship today in America is materialism. We worship our stuff. That's what it is. And we're very uncontent about the things that we have. And that's why we try to buy bigger and better and newer. And that's why we're always upgrading and remodeling and doing all the things that the rest of the world hears about. But many of them don't ever understand how we live like that. And so we have to understand our stuff is something that it's a gift of God, but it's not to own us, and we have to understand that. So in our opening is, how much money would it take for me to be happy? Have you ever thought about that? I mean, if you're looking at life and you're looking at happiness and you want to be happy in life, have you ever sat down and thought about, what's it going to take for me to be happy? Most of us never have, but if you ask people a lot, what do you want out of life? Well, I want to be happy. Well, if you don't know when you get there, how do you know that you got it? So it's something we have to value. It's something we have to understand. And most of us, what the problem is this. We never think about God and our money. We never think about God and our stuff until we don't have any, okay? And then we say, oh, God, help me, okay? But as long as things are going well, as long as we've got plenty, then we really don't even think about God and those things because we kind of somehow or another think that it's ourselves that are bringing it in, okay? But this parable here is talking about a shrewd manager, and we have to understand it. And we're managers of our lives. We're not owners. The biggest problem that you have to understand is this, and you're going to hear Andy Stanley say this, everything that comes in your hand is not yours, it's God's. And we're to be stewards of those things. We're stewards of our lives. And all these things that we're going to talk about today, we're stewards of those things, which means that what? God has given us those things. And he is interested in how we use our lives. And we have to understand that about this, okay? So what we need to know about money, about our stuff is it can, you know, what this is what's said about money. I read this a long time ago. We need to understand that money can buy you a ticket almost anywhere but heaven, and it can provide almost anything but true happiness. And so we think that somehow that's going to get us there. We think somehow or another it's going to provide those things. And what we have to understand is that most of us say, well, I know that money's not going to bring me happiness, but I'd like to have a little bit more for I could at least try. Well, we learn in our Bible study this week is that money can bring happiness. But it's only for a season, because when we get something new, it does bring out happiness, does it? It brings out some kind of a satisfaction. But it's quickly, when we get the payment book and we make about the sixth payment, then it kind of quickly begins to go away. And how do you know it doesn't make you happy? Because you're always trying to upgrade. I mean, you know, you've got a number 5 phone, and now you're looking at a number 6, and it's always needing something, because we live a life of discontentment. And we need to realize that discontentment comes from the world. It comes from the flesh. It comes from the devil. And we need to be happy with what we have. And so God has a lot to say about money, because why? Because we deal with it all the time. And a lot of people deal with it. And so here's the key. Here's the verse that I want you to get about how we need to deal with our money. Listen to what it says here in Proverbs chapter 30 and verses 7 through 9. It says, two things I ask of you, O Lord. Do not refuse me before I die. Keep falsehoods and lies far from me. Give me neither poverty nor riches, but give me only my daily bread. Then he goes on and tells why in verse 9. He says, otherwise I may have too much and disown you and say, who is the Lord? Or I may become poor and steal and so dishonor the name of God. So what he's saying here is this, God, keep me in balance. Let me be in balance. And that's the key of our stuff. It's being in balance. All these things that we're going to talk about today is this. There's not anything bad in and of themselves until they're put in their, as long as they're in their proper place, as long as they're not wrongly managed, okay? So life is to be lived in balance, and we need to understand that. You know, we get out of balance sometimes, and sometimes that happens. And so none of these things, like I said, are going to really hurt us until we do what? Unless we get them out of balance in our lives and then begin to take over our lives. And that's what some people live for. That's the question. We're looking at a grocery list here today. We're looking at this outline here today. And what we're asking ourselves is, you know, who's in control? What's in control of my life? You know, what am I living for? Who am I living for? Well, a lot of times that gets out of balance. And so what I've done is taken the message that we're hearing in our Bible studies, and what I've done is tried to bring it down, not only to look at our finances, but to look at all the other stuff. You know, a lot of people say, well, I don't care anything about money. I just like what it buys. Well, it's the same thing, okay? And so we have to understand that. But it's more to that. We have to realize that God has created us. He has put us here for a purpose. And we're to live for that purpose. And that's what brings the happiness. That's what brings the true satisfaction of life when we understand it. You hear me say that over and over again. That's why we're going through this study here, is because we have to understand it. And the sooner you understand that about life, it will save you a lot of heartache and headache in the world that we're living. Because the world doesn't believe that. Again, what we learned on the first thing. The flesh, and the devil teaches us what? That you can either be holy, you can be happy, but you can't have both. Well, you can have both. Because holiness does lead to happiness, and we need to understand that in life, okay? So let's look here at our outline. Who or what am I serving? The first thing we need to look at is our time. You've heard me preach this. You hear me talk about it all the time, about our time, because time is life, and we have to understand it. In John 9 and verse 4, it says, as long as it is day, we must do the work of him who sent me. Night is coming when no one can work. What's he saying here? He's saying, we don't have a long time in this world. We don't know when our last minute, when our last second, when our last breath is going to be taken. So we have a reason to be here. This is something we can't do what? We have to understand. We can't control our time here. So we need to be doing the things that God's got us here for. And what is it? What can we not be doing in heaven? Well, one thing, we can't lead people to Jesus, okay? We're not going to be doing that in heaven. We need to understand. So there's a job to be done here. The Bible calls it, we're an army. The church is an army, and we're to be going out and telling people about the Lord Jesus Christ. A lot of the problems that we have in the world today can be solved with people being saved. We don't get that, okay? This is a place where people are saved, and people are, and then we're coming into what? We bring them into where we disciple people and help them to see the truth. There was a time in my life, a lot of the things that I disagree with now, I didn't even think about before I got saved until I began to get discipled and people show me the truth and show me how wrong it was, because I didn't really care about those things. I wasn't interested in those things. All I was interested in was in myself and having a good time. That was all. I just wanted to be happy, okay? As long as I was happy, I didn't care who was the president, what was going on, what was being said. It didn't bother me at all, okay? But now that I got saved and I see the things that are wrong, and again, it helps us to understand. So what does it matter what we do with our time? What time is life, and how we use it matters. It matters to God, and it should matter to us also. And what is it? We have said, what we've learned is relationships is one of the key things of life. And so what we say is this, is that's where we should spend a lot of our time. We should spend it with our family. First of all, we should be spending time with God. Then we should be spending it with our family. We should be spending it with our friends. Because why? That's what's important to us in life. And a lot of times, like you've heard me say, a lot of times we don't understand that until something happens bad in our lives. And then it begins to make us really understand what's important in life. And so every minute I waste is a part of my life. And so we're to use it wisely. Because why? Because it's to make a difference in other people's lives. And there's nothing wrong with enjoying life. I enjoy life. I mean, all of us should enjoy life. There's nothing wrong with that. But what we have to understand, that's not what we're living for, just to enjoy life. There's a lot of people, that's all they're looking for, is just another thrill, another spiel. You know, how can I have a good time? That's all life is about. Well, life is much more than that, and we have to understand that. And so we have to understand that life is not just about making a living. I work with people, when I worked out in the secular world, and I worked in a factory, it was people that was always trying to get more overtime and always trying to get this and always trying to get that, you know. And they was always questioning me why I wasn't wanting more of that. And I said, well, the thing is, this is my motto, I work to live, I don't live to work. And my motto was, is I had to make a living. We all have to do that. And God knows that. God's promised to give us our needs, but he's not always our wants. And so what I think is much more to life than just going out here trying to make more money. And you'll never be happy because you'll never get enough. And we have to understand that about ourselves. And most people do what? They live life like this is the last, like this is all there is to it. You know, we talk about our bucket list. I was had a friend of mine that went to Israel. Our new director of missions went to Israel. And first thing I told him, I said, well, you know, that's on my bucket list, you know. And then I got to thinking one night, you know, and I heard me and another guy had talked about this a few months ago. And so I think Israel's still going to be here when I get to heaven, don't you? I might not get to see it till I die, but I'm going to get to see it one day because I'm going to see it after I get there, okay? And so maybe, you know, there's other places that I want to go in life and some things that I want to do in life. And so what it is as you get older, some of you, as we get older, we do what? We think, well, I need to get in a hurry because if I don't do that now, I'm never going to get there. Well, how do I know that, you know? See, listen, we don't really understand about life until after this life. We're not really truly living all we can until we get into heaven because we're going to see it as it really is. I said this a few years ago. I read this in a book that we've never really, you look at the sunset and you look at the sunrise, and we've never seen really a pure one because why? Because it's contaminated by sin. But one day we're going to get to see what the world really looks like because we're going to have those spiritual eyes that we talk about, and all the sinful things are going to be gone, and we're going to get to see how beautiful this world really is, and we need to understand that. So time, don't waste our time. Use it wisely because we have it short here, but there's only some things that we can do here that we can't do in heaven after we get there, so we need to use our time wisely. The next thing is this, it follows right along with that, is look at our talents. Look at the things that God's given us. We're talented in ways. God's gifted us. In 1 Corinthians 12 and verse 7, it says, now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. And so God gives us gifts. He gives us talents to do what? To serve other people. See, we're to be servants of people. There's two types of people in the world, givers and takers. And we need to realize which one we're going to be. Are you here just to try to impress people, or are you here to try to make a difference in people's lives? And if we don't, and people can tell the difference. I don't come here to try to impress you. I come here to try to influence you for the things of God, helping you to understand that the things you're looking for in life is found in the things that the world tells you is not important. But today's message is we look at these things. Like I said, all these things are not bad of themselves unless we've got them out of balance and we're living them for ourselves and for this world and not for the things of God. So God's talent, he's given us skills, he's given us gifts and things like that to be used for him. And so when I do something, look at your life and ask yourself what you're doing in life with your life right now. I mean, you've only got so many days in this world, and we don't know how long that is. But what you did last week, what's it going to matter in 10 years? You know, what's it going to matter in 50 years? What's it going to matter in 100 years? What's it going to matter in 1,000 years? I mean, what you're doing, your job, what you do with your life, what's it going to really matter? What we have to understand is what we're going to be carrying to heaven with us is people and the Word of God. That's what's going to, and that's what should matter in our lives. It should make a difference in our life. That's what should matter. And so we need to understand that. So our talents is what God's given us to use that we can make a difference in the world around us. And all of us have to make a living, but that's not what we're here for. And my talents are given by God to do what? To be used by God for His purpose, for His glory, and for His honor. It's to be a blessing. That's what we're here to do. We're to be a blessing. My life is to be used to be a blessing. And so God gives me things in my life to make a difference in the world around me. If it's not being used by that, then I begin to waste my life. So when I live a life giving, it's what? It's making me most happy. One of the things that I try to convince people of is this, is what God has convinced me of, is this. The more I give my life away, the happier I am. The more I try to seem to get out of life, it looks like it gets in the way. Not to say that things that I have or doesn't make me happy for a season, but the more that I give my life away, it makes me happy. Ministry makes me happy. Missions makes me happy. It brings meaning to my life. It makes me feel like I'm making a difference in the world. I mean, I think all of us in here, don't you realize? I mean, all of you might not ever have calculated this, but all of us in here, we want to make a difference in the world. We want people that say that, you know, that, man, I'm sorry they're gone. That, you know, they invested in life. They invested in me, and the world's different because I was here, and hopefully in a good way. And when you're not living like that, then you begin to question, you know, man, what's life all about? You know, I mean, it's just get up and go to work and come home and get up and go to work, and it's just a vicious circle. But it's not supposed to be lived like that. God has a purpose, and life is to be lived out, and we're to be going somewhere in life. And how we do that is making a difference in other people's lives. You know, I told our Wednesday night group this story last week. Things like this make an impact on me. And I think you have to have things like this happen in your life to make sure that you understand the importance of what we're doing here. What we do in a church is important. We make eternal difference in people's lives. People are being saved here. Lives are being changed here. Things are happening here, okay? And you need to realize that. And so I preached a funeral a couple of weeks ago from a friend that I went to high school with. And I'd had an opportunity to lead this man to the Lord 7 years ago. I mean, somebody talked to Daniel, and Daniel told me that he wanted to talk to me. I went over to his house. I sat down with him. And this is what he said when I went in. He said, Brother Nath, he didn't call me brother. He just called me Nath. He's an old friend of mine. He said, Nath, he says, man, I'm looking for God, but I don't know where to find him. And I said, well, you come to the right place, because I can show you where God's at, okay? And so I led him to the Lord. He accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. He was sick. He left there. He went to move with his daughter. I never talked to him again. I didn't know what happened to him. He'd been a knucklehead all his life, so I didn't know about it. You know, I wanted to believe he was true. I gave him a little book and everything to go through like we do and everything. Well, anyway, they called me for his funeral. And so anyway, so I walk into the funeral home, and like I said, he was a carpenter, kind of a rough guy and everything, so everybody was dressed in blue jeans and shirts and everything, so I walk in a suit, and so, I mean, obviously I'm the preacher, okay? And so anyway, so they walk in, so his daughter comes up to me. And, you know, God, like I said, God knows what you need to hear. And so his daughter walks up to me and shakes my hand. She says, so you're Nath Osmond? And I said, yeah. And she says, well, my daddy's been talking a lot about you for the last few years. And I said, is that right? And she said, yeah. She said, you know, he told us that, you know, he'd accepted Christ. And I said, he accepted Christ. And she says, well, I want you to know that when he come to live with me, that he got up and read his Bible every day. He read his Bible all the time, that he got a devotional. He started doing devotionals and stuff. And when he was sick and go to the hospital, he was talking to people about how much Christ had done in his life and how much Jesus had saved him from and all these different things. And I just want you to know that through these last 7 years, he's been a good witness for the Lord. And I thought, amen, praise the Lord, you know. See, that was something that happened 7 years ago. It was about a 30 to 45-minute conversation. I never saw him again. I didn't know really what happened, but God was showing me that I'd made a difference in that man's life. Amen? And you know what I was doing that day? I was preaching his funeral. You don't think that don't make a difference? You don't think accepting Jesus Christ doesn't make a difference in somebody's life? You preach their funeral for them. Amen? And you need to realize that we make a difference in people's life. What you're investing in this church, what you're investing in people's lives, when it comes to spiritual things, we're talking about eternal things. It makes a difference in people's lives. Don't ever forget that. We have to understand that. So, look, God's given us talents to make a difference in people's lives and to be a blessing in people. The third thing is look at our minds. Look at what we think about. Philippians 4 and verses 8 and 9. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. That's how we get out of worry. We start thinking about the things of God, okay, and how powerful God is. Then he goes on in verse 9, whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you. Can anybody say that about you? Can anybody say that about me? I can be as negative as anybody. Being in the ministry, you see all kinds of things goes on, and it can make you so negative, and I catch myself doing that, and so I have a constant battle against that. But what I have to understand is it's expressions of God. When I say things and it's negative, then it's an expression of God. Because why? I should be positive, because God is a good God, and we have to understand that. So what we have to learn about is this. It says right thinking leads to right kinds of living. We have the right kind of living as we think right. So as we think, so as we go. And we have to realize that. It means more to us. And we need to know. And what happens is this. When we meet people and we tell them that we're Christians, what we're saying is this, I'm a Christian. I'm a mirror of God. And it says this. It says, put this into practice. And so what he's saying here is this. Can I tell anybody to follow me? Can I tell anybody that's around me? Can I tell my friends and my family? Can I tell them to follow me? And it'll make a difference in their lives. I hope that we can. We should be able to. It's going to start with right thinking, though. And then it becomes down to right kinds of living. And so we have the right attitude. So what do I think about the most? Do I think about this world or the kingdom of God? Do I think about myself or do I think about others? Do I think about just enjoying life and being happy? Or do I think about trying to make life more enjoyable and happy for other people? That's the difference in the way that people live and the way that they think. And then the last thing is what we're talking about in our series this week. We're talking about money. Look what it says there. It says, look at my money, or look at my stuff is what I call it. Look at my stuff. In Matthew 6, in verses 19 through 21, it says this. Listen to what he says here. Here we're going to do some stuff. He gives a contrast here. It says, do not store up. Now, when he says do not, I'm thinking he's not making a suggestion. He's making a commandment here. So he's telling us not to do this, okay? Because he knows where this leads to. You know, here Jesus is saying, he knows where this leads to. So he says, do not store up for yourselves treasure on earth where moths and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. He's saying basically it's worthless. It's what, you're going to lose it. Eventually you're going to lose all these things. So it's not really valuable. So what he's saying is if we're living for this life, we're living for the second best. We're not living for the best. A lot of people give up for the good for the best, and so we have to understand that. So he goes on. He says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy and where thieves break in and steal. And then he goes in. Here's one of those buts here in verse 20, a contrast. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moths and rust do not destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. It says, and here we go in verse 21, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. And so he's saying, where you're investing in, what's getting the most of your time, what's getting the most of your talents, okay, what's getting the most of your stuff, what it is, what you're investing is that's what's important to you. You know, you say, well, you, Brother Nathan, you know, I don't know what's important to me. Well, look at where you spend your time at. Look at what you spend your money on. You know, look at where you spend your talents at. That'll tell you what you're investing in. That'll tell you what you're you're valuing, okay? And so I can look at what my credit card says and see a lot about my life. Where do I think? If you saw mine, or most people, you think, you know, we think that Walmart's valuable because we spend so much time there buying stuff. And that's true for a lot of people. But what we have to understand is this world, my stuff can be a curse to me because it can be what I'm living for. And that's what we're living in today. We're living in a very materialistic world. Most of the country, or most of the world doesn't know what we have. I wish I could knew the exact numbers, but I was telling somebody the other day, somebody has some financial problems and stuff, and they told me how much they made. And I'm thinking, you know, and it wasn't a whole lot considered what a lot of people made. It wasn't a lot, but the average person in the world, and I think I've got this right, the average person in the world lives on less than $15,000 a year. And that's the average person in the world. So if you're in America and you say you make over $15,000 a year, you're in the top probably 20% or 10%. If you made over $40,000 a year as a family, you were in the top 10% of the people in the world. And so we don't think that's making any money. I don't make but this, okay? We don't realize how most of the rest of the world lives and how they operate. We just think right here, this is how we're focused, is right here in America, and that's why people are trying to get here, okay? Because they think that we're wealthy and we have. But what you have to learn is this, is the more you make, the more it takes to live, amen? You know, I have a friend of mine that lives in Franklin now. And he was telling me that he's turned down a couple of jobs in the last few weeks for $65,000 a year because he can't live there because he's got a 2-bedroom apartment he's paying $1,700 a month for. So if you want to move to Nashville and you think everything's so great and you think, oh, man, they make a lot of money in Nashville, well, you didn't realize that it's going to take a lot of money to live in Nashville also, okay? When I was in California 15 years ago, I went up to the McDonald's, and the McDonald's had a sign on it. It said, help wanted, starting pay $12 an hour. Now, that's just 15, 20 years ago. Now, I'm thinking, man, I can't believe that they're paying people $12 an hour at McDonald's, starting out McDonald's $12 an hour. Well, let me tell you what, I was in Southern California. And let me tell you what, you move to California, let me tell you what, you better get your pocketbook out because it takes a lot of money to live in. You know, they like that sunshine down there, okay? I mean, you're going to pay for that ocean view, okay? It's going to cost you something. So what we realize is this, what you learn in life is this, guys, is this. And this is, a lot of us can say this, the more we make, the more we spend. Amen? We buy just a little bit bigger, a little bit better, a little bit newer, but that's just what it comes down to. So a lot of people, they make a lot of money in their life, but they don't really have anything. So it's not what you make, it's what you keep. And it's how you invest in your life. It's how you invest in things. And what I'm saying here, when it comes to our stuff, when it comes to all these things, we need to be investors, and we need to look at how we're investing. Who are we investing? Are we invested in this world, in the things of this world, or invested in God? And the things of God. That's what he's laying it out here for us, and we have to understand that. So look at our stuff. Look at our money. Do I own it, or does it own me? And why is the balanced life important? Why is the balanced life important? Luke 16:13 lays it out again. Now, this is what he said. Remember what we said a while ago. No servant can serve two masters. You think, oh, yeah, okay, I'm a juggler. Man, I can juggle things. Well, that's not what he's saying. That's not what Jesus is saying. No servant can serve two masters. Either he'll hate one and love the other, or he'll be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. That's what he's saying. So he's laying it out there for us. So you're a servant to something. So the question today is, who or what are you serving? That's the question that we're asking. Who or what are you serving? And again, life is to be lived in balance, but our main focus is to be on God and the things of God. That's what we have to understand. And so how will we react to the truth that we know today? Well, this is one of these applicational sermons. And an applicational sermon is you can hear truth but walk out and not live by it. Well, see, so you don't get any points today by just showing up. You don't get a pat on the back for just being here today. You get a pat on the back, okay? You get a pat on the back by you going out and living it out and saying, hey, my life's going to make a difference in this world for the next world. I'm going to be giving my life away and not just taking from the world. And that's what God wants us to do. That's what the Christian is supposed to do. You know, we'll never look more like Jesus than when we give our lives away. That's what he did for us, and that's what we're to do to other people. God and act as the heart of God. So God knows our heart. He knows what means most to us. He knows what we value the most. And he knows my heart and what I'm living for. And so giving comes from a heart of gratitude. Am I grateful for what I've got? Well, most people are not. I added this last part into the message after I'd already handed the bulletin off. So I'm going to add something. I want to get you to turn to this verse, okay? This verse right here is very important. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Take your Bibles and be turning. I want to hear some page flippings or your phones flipping or something there, okay? You ought to mark this right here because this is very important to you. 1 Timothy chapter 6. I added this later, so I don't even have it on my sheet here. But as I saw it, I thought, man, this needs to be said. And so what you're going to find in the series today, you're going to hear something like this. This is something what Andy Stanley says. The key to happiness is peace, and the key to peace is contentment. Okay? Now that's something that most people don't want us to have. That's what commercials are for. If you buy this, you know, you'll be happy. If you get this, then you'll be successful. I mean, it's always an image thing. If you get this, then you're going to be this. And that's why we keep upgrading and keep rebuilding and keep doing all the things that we do, you know, because we're trying to do what? We're trying to, somehow or another, we're thinking, if I get this, then I'm going to be content. You know, just like in your series, you saw, you've bought a lot of stuff in your life thinking it was going to bring you content, and now you can't find it, okay? It's in the closet somewhere, okay? Or you give it away to, you know, to the mission or something, okay? But this is what it says. Listen, you ought to have this marked in your Bible, you know, yellow it, red it, do something in there, because this is very good stuff. 1 Timothy chapter 6, starting in verse 6. It says, but godliness leads to what? Anybody know? Contentment. Yeah. It says, godliness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. You know anybody living like that? Not in this world, okay? Not in this country, okay? Then he goes on. He says, people who want to get rich fall into temptation and trap into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. Know anybody like that? I do. It says, for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. But you, here we go. Here's the contrast. But, here's one of these buts again. It says, but you, man of God, flee from all this and pursue righteousness and godliness and faith and love and endurance and gentleness. Fight the good fight of the faith. Take hold of the eternal life. He's saying take hold of eternal things, things past this world, things that are eternal. Take hold of the eternal life to which you were called when you made your good confession in the presence of many witnesses. He's saying what? When you got saved, you're supposed to be living for eternal things now, not just for this world. You're to be investing in the things of eternal and things of heaven, not just this world. So we have to ask ourselves, here's the question today, you know, where are we doing our banking? Okay? Where is my savings at, okay? Is it this world? Then what does he say? He says it's going to be ruined. It's going to be taken away. It's going to be rust and all those things he said. He says it's going to be done away with. It doesn't matter. But what? When I'm investing in eternal things, they're eternal. And what can I carry to heaven with me? People. That's what I can carry to heaven with me, people. When I walk up, the boy's name was Steve. When I get to heaven one day, Steve's going to walk up and shake my hand and say, Nathan, I appreciate you coming over and telling me about Jesus. Amen? And let me tell you what, I hope there's going to be a long line of people waiting on me to get to heaven. How about you? Anybody going to be in heaven because of you? It's all determines on how you invest your life and what you do with the things that you have. And so when it comes to our time, when it comes to our talents, when it comes to the gifts that we have, when it comes to our finances, all those things are being done. We're to be kingdom builders. We're to be kingdom builders, making a difference in people's lives, doing things that makes eternal What we do here is important. And God has to bring me back to that. And how does he do that? He brings me in the situations. He brings me in the circumstances. I didn't know whatever happened to Steve. I spent 30 minutes with him. I told him the gospel. I went through the ABCs with him. He prayed a prayer. I gave him a little book. And I said, man, I hope you get to feeling better. And I walked out of his life and didn't see him for 7 years. I'd have never knew anything happened, what happened to his life, until I met him in heaven one day, okay? But God did what? He gave me a little bit of a glimpse of, hey, you are making a difference. Keep going. Keep telling. Keep preaching the word. Amen? And all of us are. How can you walk into your workplace tomorrow and shake someone's hand and call them your friend and you know that they're dying and going to hell, or you got a good idea, you know? And you don't know that they know about Jesus. Listen, friend, the greatest thing you can ever do for anyone is tell them about Jesus Christ. Amen? And when you stand at their funeral one day and you look into that casket, maybe you were the one that did what? It led them to Christ and told them about Jesus. I've stood at a lot of funerals and seen that. And I've walked up there and thought, man, you know, praise God that I had that opportunity. God gave me that opportunity to tell someone about Jesus, and they accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. How did that start in my life? Well, when I first got into ministry, I was bivocational. I was working day and night, and you know, we were kind of busy having kids. We couldn't figure out what was causing it, so we just kept having kids. And so for every 2 years, it's just like, you know, we didn't take a baby bed down for what, Mom? 10 years? I went in one day, and Mona was taking the baby dad down. We'd had a baby up for 10, 12 years, same baby bed up, okay, a little Mickey Mouse thing, or I think it was something like that or something. Anyway, Mona likes Mickey Mouse. So she comes in, and she's crying. I'm thinking, let's go eat a steak, man. I mean, you know, hey, it's, you know. We're busy doing all that kind of stuff. And so I'm busy, man. I got 100 things going on. I'm coaching baseball with my boys and everything. I got a call one night. And Bill's not here tonight. Bill's not here today. Bill Staymates is who I'm talking about. And so I got into Harvest as my first ministry and everything, you know. And so anyway, Bill and his family had started coming, and so anyway, his wife, she wasn't a Christian, so I went to their house, and anyway, she prayed and accepted Christ. They started coming to the church, and I don't know, maybe about a year or so after that, Mona knows they had, you know, two children, and Mona knows, and she was in a car wreck, and it hurt her really bad, but she stayed in the hospital for a couple of weeks, and she got out, she went home. Well, she got up the day after she went out. She got up to get out of the chair to go to the bathroom, and she dropped dead. Had a blood clot. Boom. Killed her just like that. Okay. Didn't kill her. I think she had brain dead, but didn't kill her. Got her. So anyway, so I'm coaching third base at the ballpark. And so I get a phone call. And so, you know, being the good pastor I am, I said, hello, you know. And he said, man, you need to come to the emergency room right now. And I said, okay, man, yeah. He said, you know, something's happened to Melinda. You need to get here. And I said, okay. So I hung the phone up, looked at Mother Coach, said, hey, man, you start coaching. I'm gone. So I went on there, walked in. First time I'd ever seen anybody dead before they ever done anything to him, okay. We'll never forget that again. White as a sheet, her eyes was wide open. I thought, didn't need to see that, but, you know, I did. So anyway, walked back out, start dealing with the family. We stay there for a long time. We end up going to the house. You got to realize she's got two small children. I mean, they're real small children. And, I mean, everybody's broken up over it. I mean, just a tragic situation. One of the first ones I've been involved in as a pastor. So I'm sitting there thinking, what do you say? What do you do? I don't know. Okay? I'm saying, so God, I mean, you're going to have to do something because I don't know what to do. Okay? That's why I got gray hair. Okay? And so anyway, so I get to their house. We go over there, and it's late at night. I mean, I've got to go to work the next day. I mean, I've got to get up and go to work. I'm working at World Color. So I'm sitting there, and it's about 1 or 2 o'clock in the morning, and sitting there, and so the little girl comes down and tells us, man, she starts crying, talks about how much she's hurting and everything, you know, and you know, we just have a kind of prayer with her and things like that. And then she gets up and walks in the house, and Bill says something to me. It changes my life. It changes my ministry. I hadn't been in ministry that very long at all. He says, you know that you're the most important person in Melinda's life. And I said, oh, is that right? And he said, yeah. And I said, well, why is that? He said, because you're the one that led her to the Lord. I didn't know she was going to be dead in 6 months or a year. I didn't know that. He didn't know that. Melinda was in her 30s, okay? Had a car wreck, killed her. And, man, just something, just, it was just like God spoke to me, and I thought, yeah. I thought, man, I've never seen it that way before, you know. I've never seen me that way before. I didn't know how important what God called me into was. People had told me that. I'd heard that. I thought of other people. I didn't think of it myself. And I got in my truck and drove away that day, and just, I mean, like I said, I just wept. And I said, you know, God, I'm way over my head. I don't know what to do, what to say, you know. And it's just like God just said, I got you. I called you and I got you. You just keep doing what I tell you to do, you know. Let me tell you what. What you do for the Lord makes a difference. And listen, the devil will rob that from you. He'll steal that from you. What this church does make a difference. And let me tell you what. I am thoroughly convinced that I'd have to step down
to be a president of the United States, because what I do is much more important than that. They can handle border walls and all that kind of crap that they want to do. Let me tell you what, we're talking about eternal things, amen? And what we do here makes a difference in people's lives for eternity. So what did you do this week that's going to make a difference in somebody's life 10 years or 50 years or 100 years or 1,000 years or eternity? Let me tell you what I do. I go and tell people about Jesus, amen? And I try to do it on a regular basis, because why? I've bought in. God's convinced me of what I'm doing is important. And the thing of it is, I'm not supposed to be the only one. I'm supposed to be equipping you to do the same thing. And so how about this week, let's go out and stop worrying about all our stuff. Start about how much stuff we can do, how much stuff we can get here, okay? And all our stuff. Stop worrying about that and start thinking about what? What can I do for eternity? And what we do for eternity is when we do something for somebody else. Amen? So let's go be Jesus this week. And let me tell you what, you want to be happy? You be Jesus for a week and see how much you, when you lay your head down at night and you know you've done what God called you to do, and you see how much peace that passes all understanding comes through your body, and you have a level of a contentment that you never had before. Listen, that's not found in a bottle of alcohol or pills. It's found in Jesus Christ. Amen? And that's what it's all about. So that's what we're talking about. Just take an inventory of your life and say, what am I really living for? Who am I really living for? That's what we're looking for in the closing there. Who do I value most, or what do I value most? And the lesson to learn today is I can't have two masters. And my application today is this, is life is about balance. Life is about balance. We're living in a world today, and I live in the same world you do. And I know all that. I understand. You have to make a living. I understand all those things, okay? But still, as we go, as we're going, as we're making a living, as we're living in this world, we're constantly telling people about Jesus Christ, because he's the answer to our problems. You bought into that? I am. I'm a satisfied customer, and I believe that Jesus is the way. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we stand here today, dear God, and we lift up the name of Jesus, because, God, we know that we're living in a world of turmoil. And, God, we think so many times we can't do anything about it, but, God, we can. God, the first thing we can is pray, because we have a mighty God. And God, although we might not make a big influence in the world, God, we know you can. And so, God, then we also can talk to people and tell them about what you've done in our lives and what you're willing to do in their lives, and how you've changed our lives. But, God, we have to be thoroughly convinced in ourselves that, God, that you have made a difference in our lives. And the only way we'll ever do that is when we give our lives to you. We truly surrender our lives, and we give everything we have back to you, Lord. God, we're not owners, we're stewards. And so we surrender ourselves here today to God. And so, God, maybe this is a time for surrendering for certain people. For some people, surrender means salvation. They've never accepted you as their Lord and Savior, and they need to be saved today. And that's what they need to do. For some people, God, we are saved, but, God, we need to resurrender our lives and recommit our lives to you and say, God, I'm just living for myself. I'm living for this world, and I'm living for my stuff. And, God, I'm not happy. I think somehow it's going to bring me happy, and I'm happy for a while, but it goes away. But, God, help me to be eternally happy. And, God, help me to buy into the truth that, God, my living my life for you is what's going to bring me the joy and the peace and the happiness and the contentment that I long for. And, God, it's found in you, God. Help me to realize that. Help me to recognize that and commit my life to that, God. So, God, we have a lot of folks out here with a lot of different things going on in their lives, and, God, you know what it is. For some, it's salvation. For some, it's recommitment. For some, it's, God, just a prayer need in their lives, that, God, something's going on in their lives that they need help with. That's what you make the church for, Lord. We're here to care for each other and to love each other. And, God, our saying is, if I don't need a blessing, I need to be a blessing. So, God, let us be blessings and accept blessings as people give them out to us today. So, God, you know everybody's heart. You know everybody's need in here today. God, I pray that you meet those needs. And we pray this in the precious name of Jesus. And amen. Amen. Let's all stand. Maybe you're here today, and you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe today's the day that you'll be saved. Or maybe today's the day you recommit your life. You're sitting here, God, let me tell you what. You're sitting here, and you can sit in church. You can sit in church and be dissatisfied with your life. Just because you prayed a prayer and just because you accepted Jesus doesn't mean that what? Walking in the Spirit means you're renewing that relationship every day. You're renewing that fellowship with him every day, walking in the Spirit. So maybe you're here today and Christianity doesn't mean that much to you. You're having to drag yourself into church and drag yourself to read your Bible. Let me tell you what. Start giving your life away and see what kind of a difference he'll make in your life. He will. And you'll get up every day wondering what God's going to do with you. Maybe that's the kind of life you're looking for. Maybe you just need to recommit your life today. Well, whatever your need is, you come, okay? Right?